Well, this will be the last sermon that I preach from this pulpit. Oh, I was expecting to hear a round of applause. Oh, there you go. I just wanted to say on behalf of Janet and myself how deeply appreciative that we have been for the last 2 years to have the opportunity to be a part of the Mountain View family. It's been joyful at times and not joyful at other times. I mean, it's life, right? We live life together. But one thing I really appreciate is this congregation's commitment to Jesus Christ as the center of your lives, and a commitment to the Word of God as the way that God speaks to us so we know how to live our lives. It is the rule of faith and practice for us. I appreciate the openness to the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. I appreciate the tremendous amount of giftedness that God has blessed this congregation with. Don't let your giftedness sit in the pews. Moving forward, I believe that God is going to do a great work, and He's going to need every gift in the body to bring those gifts together to proclaim His glory and to share Jesus with this community, with this county, and in the world. So thank you for the tremendous privilege that it's been. People have asked me, what's next for you? I will say Sabbath rest. I'm going to rest in the Lord. I'm going to spend time with my grandchildren, especially those that live in Pennsylvania. Janet and I will go up twice in the next couple of weeks so that we can support our grandchildren and I can be on the flag football field cheering Cyrus on. So looking forward to that. And then whatever the Lord has in mind, I'll just pray and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me and Janet, and we'll see where life takes us. But I'm not going to be sitting in a chair somewhere. I'm going to be out serving the Lord in a lot of different ways that I have had the privilege of doing beyond this congregation. So, but I wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, it's time to hear your word and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. This isn't my day, it's not our day, this is your day that you have made. We ask you to speak to us, Lord. May your word jump off the pages, be embraced in our hearts, and Lord, give us the grace that we need in order to act on it, so that it's not just something that stays in our head, but we live it out together as the body of Christ. We thank you that Jesus is our Jubilee, and we celebrate him this morning. He is the one who has paid the price for our sin. He is the one who continues to love us and call us beyond our selfishness, beyond our individual choices and preferences, so that we can embrace the gospel and be embraced by the gospel and take it out into this world to people who have no idea who Jesus is, and they need to hear the good news of Christ's transforming power and truth. So I pray that you would speak to us, each one of us this morning, as we prepare our hearts to listen to your word, to be changed by it, and then to come to your table and to celebrate what Jesus has done, cleansed us with his blood, made us white as snow, and brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Speak to us this morning, Holy Spirit, and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but when something, an appliance in my house, or a furnace, or a water heater, or something goes wrong, I'm really glad that I can take a finger and press what's called a reset button. How about you? Anybody else? I mean, I'm like, where's the reset button on this thing? When it looks like something's ready to fall apart, when I have no idea what's going on, I can take my finger and I can press the reset button to correct the error or the malfunction or whatever it is. I have never once in my life said, I'm not pressing that reset button. I don't care. I am not pressing that reset button. How about you? No, I go for the reset button. Did you know that God has a reset button? God has a reset button when our lives fall apart, when we experience the consequence of sin, when we experience emotional and relational pain, woundedness, conflict, when we're holding on to simmering hurt and unforgiveness in our lives that can totally disrupt our lives, God has a reset button. Because when my furnace doesn't work or the appliance doesn't work, I don't care how long I stand there and blame somebody else or blame the appliance, nothing is going to happen until I am willing to press that reset button. I'd like to leave you and leave this pastorate, the transitional pastorate, with a word from God from Leviticus chapter 25. I invite you to get your Bible out and turn to Leviticus chapter 25. In Leviticus chapter 25, God talks about a year of Jubilee. It's a year of Jubilee that God calls the Israelites to observe. Because the year of Jubilee and the day of Jubilee are a day of release. It's a day of redemption. It's a day of freedom. It's a day of liberty. I want to preface this by saying that Jubilee began from the requirement that farmers observe a Sabbath year every 7 years. So every 7 years, the seventh year was a Sabbath year. They don't sow their crops. They don't go out into their fields and do anything. And this practice continues 7 times 7 years for 49 years. And then on the 50th year, God says, you will have a year of Jubilee. Now, why observe a Jubilee? Because it's God's reset when his people have been affected by emotional and relational pain, by conflict, by woundedness, by simmering hurt, by unforgiveness. They have absolutely gotten off track. They have gotten off track. And they allow the results of sin to disrupt their focus and their mission and their vision. Jubilee is a reset that brings everything back into focus. Because if we hold on to obstacles and do not acknowledge them and confess them and release them, then they will be taken with us and have the potential to distract us from God's mission, from knowing and fulfilling God's vision for our lives. So I'd like to invite you to stand, and I'd like to read from Leviticus chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. This talks about the sabbatical year. Every seventh year, the Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest." Verse 8, count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpets sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow, do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee and is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. If you sell land to any of your own people or buy land from them, don't take advantage of each other. You are to buy from your own people on the basis of the number of years since the Jubilee, and they are to sell to you on the basis of the number of years left for harvesting crops. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes. The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, says the Lord, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. Throughout the land that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. And then in Luke chapter 4, Jesus enters the temple and he takes the book of the prophet Isaiah and he reads from it. And he's talking about the year of release. He's talking about the year of Jubilee. We're in Luke chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me,
because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is the year of Jubilee. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed are those who hear God's word and live by it. Please be seated. So Jubilee is not something that creeped up on God or something that God had to institute. The year of Jubilee was a part of God's heart. It's a part of who God is. We can see that if we go back to Joshua chapter 13. Remember, the Israelites reached the promised land, and the first thing that God did was to distribute the land to the 12 tribes. God gave land to this tribe and this tribe and this tribe, and they dispersed to the land with the purpose of keeping the land in the hands of the tribes and the families. Because God was going to use that land to form and to shape his people. Actually, the early Israelites were foreigners on God's land. God owned the land. And the Jubilee law, as recorded in Leviticus 25 that I just read, if applied today, would look something like this. The debtor or the tenant that rents the land gives the landowner money so that he can farm the land and gather the crops. So if the tenant would give the landowner $250,000 for the right to farm the land, if there were 5 years left until the Jubilee, that means each year's crops had to be worth $50,000 in order to pay the rent on the land. And then at the time of Jubilee, the landowner would receive the land back because the debt for the land had been paid off. And so the tenant or the debtor does not really own the land. He leases it. The debt is paid off by the crops. Now, if at the end of 7 years, the debt on the land exceeds the value of the crops that the crops were able to produce, the one leasing the land could supplement the amount with his own money or the family. And that's where the family comes together. The family comes together and chips in, and they pay the rent from the land. Because Leviticus 25 encourages family and friends of the debtor to pay off the debt so that the use of the land goes back to the original family's hands, but ultimately is owned by God. Now, here's what Jubilee does not do. Jubilee does not involve the forgiveness of the debt. The debt has to be paid. It does not involve forgiveness. It does not involve redistribution of the land because the land never left the ownership of the original family to which God entrusted the land. So the ownership of the land never changed hands. The debt that was owed was not forgiven. It was not canceled. It was paid. Now that is extremely important if we are going to understand Jubilee. The debt was paid. So Jubilee is more akin to a mortgage-burning celebration because the debt is paid in full. That's why Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 says, "You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release, a liberty through the land to every inhabitant." And the Hebrew word there is deror. And that word deror means liberty. It means to release. The debt has been paid and it is released. And it's the same word that Jesus used when he took the book of Isaiah and he came into the temple and he proclaimed in himself God's jubilee. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up those that are brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty." There's the same word, liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jubilee, jubilee. Yeshua, Jesus, is offering himself the freedom of the final redemption and the kingdom of heaven. If they would repent and turn to the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins in Jesus' name. Yeshua is the Redeemer who came to set free those who are slaves and prisoners to sin. That's why the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians 5, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." Jesus has already paid the debt. The debt is paid. And he extends his hand to lift us up out of the miry pit. Remember that song? "He picked me up, he turned me round, he set my feet on higher ground. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee." Do you realize, church, that when you were dead in your sins, when you were dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave you all of your sins because the scripture says in Colossians 2:14, Jesus paid for the record of your legal indebtedness. There was a record of legal indebtedness which stood against you and it condemned you. And the scripture says, he has taken that away and he has nailed it to the cross. The doors of redemption are wide open in Jesus before us. We are no longer in bondage. We are no longer slaves to sin. Instead, we are slaves to righteousness because we have been freed by Jesus Christ. Romans 6:17. We can truly now enter God's rest. The writer to the Hebrews says, please come and enter God's rest because you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to do. Your salvation has been bought for you by Jesus. He has paid the debt. And you are acceptable before God because of Jesus' work on the cross and through his resurrection. Remember, Jubilee is the celebration. So we're here to celebrate today. We're here to celebrate that the debt has been paid. Jesus, our Jubilee, has paid the debt of our sin, and he has brought release. He has brought liberty. He has brought redemption. He has brought freedom into our lives. So you don't have to come to this table this morning and confess your sin to be forgiven. That's a work that you don't have to do. Because no amount of time confessing your sin and asking God, and then we do it over and over and over and over again. So Jesus is not calling us to come here today and confess to be forgiven. The proclamation of the gospel is we are already forgiven. Do you believe that, church? That Jesus paid the price. That because of Christ, we who were dead in sin now have the victory because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises us from the dead. So we're not here to confess to be forgiven. We're here because we are. And here's the proclamation of Jubilee. Because Jesus has released you from the debt of sin, and he has paid the debt for you, it is our opportunity now to release others from the debt that we have been carrying toward them that they can never, ever repay. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe because we owe a debt that we cannot pay. Just as Jubilee was reclaiming the land for God's purposes and God's territory, this is a day where God reclaims the land. And the way that God reclaims this land, and I'm not just talking about Mountain View. I'm talking about this community of love. I'm talking about Stewart's Draft, Waynesboro. The way God does that is through us. Because God wants to cultivate a harvest. So we're reaching for God's Jubilee this morning. And I want to encourage you, as we come to this table, I want to give you a few moments to spend time in prayer to invite the Holy Spirit to reveal to you this morning who owes you a debt. Who owes you a debt? Who has hurt you, wounded you, grieved you, sinned against you, displayed an attitude that you find obnoxious? That because the debt for that person, even though it has been paid by Christ, has been hung on to by you. So we're reaching for God's Jubilee this morning by naming and releasing our own pain, our own sin, but also the sins of others, the pain that others have caused us, the wounds, the hurts, the grief, because they all become distractions. They all become distractions from returning the land back to God. Because we will absolutely be more concerned about our preferences, what we want, to have it our way. If we take it upon ourselves to hold on to the debts that other people owe us. Some of the wounds that you're holding on to don't even apply to Mountain View. They're with your family. It could be a long-term feud with a family member. That's something I have to deal with. We're talking about the persons who you are still saying, that person owes me because this is how they treated me. This is what they did, and that person owes me. I'm here today to proclaim a jubilee. The debt has been paid. The debt has been paid. It's time to reset. To reset. And God's reset is to letting go. Letting go. Releasing the debts so that Christ can do his work in us and among us. It's time to return the land to God. Your relational land, your relationships with other people, it's time to return it to God. It's time for Jubilee. Jesus is our Jubilee. There's a song. The word provided for a time for the slaves to be set free, for the debts to all be canceled, so his chosen ones could see. His deep desire was forgiveness. He longed to see their liberty, and his yearning was embodied in the year of Jubilee. At the Lord's appointed time, his deep desire became a man, the heart of all true jubilation, and with joy we understand. In his voice we hear a trumpet sound that tells us we are free. Jesus is the incarnation of the year of Jubilee. To be so completely guilty and given over to despair, and to look into your judge's face and see your Savior there. Jubilee, Jubilee. Jesus is that Jubilee. Debts forgiven, slaves set free. Jesus is our Jubilee. The year of Jubilee began with Yom Kippur. You may hear our Jewish friends celebrating Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was the beginning of the Jubilee. It was the Day of Atonement. It began with the blowing of a ram's horn. And if you've ever heard that, I mean, it is a clear sound. It is a clear reset when that ram's horn hits your ears. And it's a reminder that one day, when Abraham took his son Isaac and he was instructed to sacrifice him, there was a ram in the thicket. And so that ram's horn is blown to say, this is the Day of Atonement. Just as that day, that ram was provided, so for us, the lamb has been provided for our salvation. And so today, I would invite you to see in this sanctuary as they would in the synagogue, back in the tent of meeting, the Holy of Holies, where the priest would sacrifice a lamb and then take it and throw the blood on the altar. That was to say, Almighty God, this is your land. Almighty God, we thank you for what you have done. But then in the ceremony, there came the time for a scapegoat. And it comes from the Hebrew word Azazel, and it's translated the goat of departure. It was the goat that took the sins of the people away. In the New Testament, Christ separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So there were two goats that were used. One was a sacrifice for sin, and the second was driven away to show that the sin was completely removed. And Aaron, the high priest, would cast lots to determine which goat was which sacrifice. And so I like you to imagine today that there's a goat here in this sanctuary. And when you come forward to receive the bread and the cup, would you take the sins of others? Would you take the debt? Would you take the debt that somebody owes you? And would you symbolically place that debt on the scapegoat? And that scapegoat will take the sins and remove them from the people. Because Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, I do believe that the day of Jubilee is God's reset. It's not about the forgiveness of sins. It's the proclamation that the debt is paid. The land returns to God. Because if you leave this sanctuary today holding on to the debt that somebody owes you in this congregation, in your family, in your community, where you work, then you are absolutely, at some point, you are going to create a distraction and a diversion to give the land back to God, because this land belongs to God. It is God's mission. It is God's intention. And so we're going to come to the altar now, and we are going to receive the bread and the cup. I would invite you to hold the bread and the cup and go back to your seat and meditate on Jesus, your Jubilee, on the debt that Christ has set free, and who it is, what the sin is, what the debt is that someone else owes you, that you have been holding on to, so that you can come forward and make this a true day of Jubilee, that you give the responsibility to Jesus, because he's already paid the price. The debts are forgiven. We are debt free. And we have the opportunity to leave this sanctuary with everyone in our lives debt free, to return the land to God for his purposes and his proclamation. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is our Jubilee. And this is the tough part, God. We're willing to receive whatever you have to give, but often we're not willing to part, with those debts that others owe us. We're not willing to part with them, even for the expansion of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, in this moment of decision, would you speak to each of our hearts so that we can bring the debts to the altar, place them on the scapegoat, and watch them be removed from our lives forever. By your grace, by your truth, by your power alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.